Shall we pray to our God again that He would bless us as we come to His Word? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before You again in this morning to pray that You would be with us as we come to Your Word. Father, many of us come to Your Word again this morning with the baggage and the burdens of another week in which we have sinned, in which we have fallen short of Your glory. Another week in which we have doubted Your goodness to us, a week in which we have doubted Your faithfulness to us. And so we pray this morning that You would release us and rescue us from our doubts and our despairs this morning as we come to Your Word. We might come to see You this morning as not just our Almighty God, but also our faithful Father, who is able, who is willing to answer all our prayers for Jesus' sake. We pray in His precious name. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning, congregation, to Psalm 139. Look at this psalm together in connection with Lord's Day 9 of our Heidelberg Catechism and what it means to confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. As you're turning there to Psalm 139, we need to recognize from the outset that one of the reasons that we can take great comfort in this psalm this morning, because at the time when King David is writing this psalm, he himself is in a situation of distress, fearing the enemies of God. David knows very well, we'll find in our confession, what we experience in this life, that we live in a sad world, a fallen world. And yet in light of all that, we know also that we are known by God, even as a child is known by his Father. We can take that this morning from Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. This is God's holy word. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, and You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and You lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In Your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thus far, God's holy inspired word. Turn with me also in the back of our blue Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 9 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We found on page 16 in the back of our hymnals, page 16, this confession on God the Father Almighty. The Catechism asks us, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he'll provide whatever I need for body and soul. And he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. This the Church does believe. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it mean to you to be known by God? Perhaps for some of you to be known by God in the way the psalmist expresses here in Psalm 139 is a frightening thought. After all, to be known by God in such a manner knows that he knows everything about us. He knows all our sins, all our sinful affections are ever before his sight. Certainly this knowledge that God has for all his creatures has driven some to hate God, to despise God, to want nothing to do with this God. Tormented by the knowledge that one day they shall stand before a God who knows them even better than they know themselves is too much to bear for some people. And so it came to pass in human history that when this all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God finally sent his only begotten Son into the world, that wicked men crucified the very one who came to save them. Because perhaps then, if they killed him, perhaps then they could silence him. Perhaps then they could ignore the warning of condemnation so long as they remained in unbelief. But as we'll hear later on tonight, there is no escaping this all-knowing God. On the day of Christ's return, all men shall stand and give an account to this all-knowing God. And some will do that in fear and trembling. But it will not be the case for us, people of God. Because on that day of his coming, the righteous will stand before this same all-knowing God, not as servants of sin, but as sons of God, as those who are known by God in covenant love and faithfulness, as those who were adopted by God in Jesus Christ to be his sons and daughters. They will stand before this all-knowing God in joy and confidence. So what does it mean to you, people of God, to be known by this God? According to our catechism, being known by God can be compared to the way that a child is known by his or her father. Good earthly fathers know their children, don't they? They know when something is the matter, and good fathers love their children because when they see their children, they see glimpses of themselves, even as our Father sees a glimpse of himself in us as we are made again in the image of Christ after goodness, righteousness, and holiness. Just as good earthly fathers know their children in a much greater way, the Lord God knows us. He knows all our ways and all our paths and all our days are written in his book. All our days written in the book of God from before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that this morning, congregation, that all your days are written in God's book? Boys and girls, I'd imagine at least some of you have learned in English literature class that every good story follows that similar structure of beginning, middle end of an introduction and then the rising action and climax and then falling action and resolution. But if you were to think of, and one of the things that good stories have in common is that by the time you find yourself in the middle of the story, the main character has found himself in a stressful or a distressing situation. But as you read the story, you have an innate sense that no matter how bad things are going to get for this character, you know that in the end, the author will resolve all the conflicts, that good will triumph over evil, that joy will break through the sadness that had propelled the story forward. And if you were to think of human history as God's story, and of your own lives as being part of that story, all your days being written in His book, then it is a great source of comfort, isn't it, to be lovingly known by the God who is the providential author of the story. It's a comforting thing because we can know that even in the worst of days, even in the saddest of days, even when we're not sure what's in store for us in the next chapter of our lives, that all our days are written in His book. Even in the midst of the saddest of days of darkness and despair, God is gracious to tell us that although we might not be certain what's on the page to come, He tells us what's on the last page. The glory of new creation. The people of God spending eternity in paradise with their Father, seeing the Savior face to face. A place where sadness and tears, sin and death have been eclipsed by the joys and glories of heaven. Even in this sad world, beloved, you are known by a God who is with you, who has written all your days in His wonderful book. Of course, one of the reasons why it is a sad world is because there are many in this world who do not believe the story. They don't believe that in the beginning it was God who made the heavens and the earth. They don't believe that sin came into the world through Adam. They don't believe that God Himself intervened in the story with His only begotten Son to bring about our redemption and restoration. And so they don't know the comfort that this psalm affords the child of God. You see, congregation, we find here in this psalm, what we find in Lord's Day 9 of the Catechism is that the one who made us does not abandon us in this sad world. The one who made us does not abandon us in this sad world, but as our faithful God and Father, He leads us in the way everlasting. He does this according to His eternal counsel and providence. So as we dive into this psalm, I want you to consider three things with me this morning. These three things about your God and Father. Firstly, that He who searches you also knows you. He knows you even better than you know yourselves. Secondly, He who holds you in His hand also lights your path wherever you go. And finally, He who formed you, He who knitted you together in your mother's womb, this same God has written all your days in His wonderful book. One of the wonderful things we find at the start of our passage, congregation, is the intimate relationship that exists between the Lord God and His covenant children. As David begins this psalm of praise, we come to see it. The Lord has an invested interest in David's well-being. And because of that, David can trust that God will answer his prayer in verse 24. Lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. According to David, who is also a child of God, a man after God's own heart, to be known by this God is a comfort that is greater than he can fully begin to grasp. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. David opens with these words, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. David knows that he is known by God. Perhaps some of you are here this morning longing to be known. Perhaps you feel like there's nobody in the world who really knows you, no one who really understands you. Maybe you feel like no one really understands or and knows your biggest dreams or your greatest fears or your most trying struggles. Maybe you feel this morning that you've been overlooked and passed over, like you're invisible, that no one really sees you. If you can share such sentiments this morning, congregation, and God's Word speaks a pointed message of comfort to you. Because even if you feel like nobody really knows you, the Word of God tells you it is not true. Your Father in heaven knows you. He knows everything about you that makes you you. He knows your insecurities. He knows your perceived inadequacies. He knows all your desires and your longings, even before the words are on your tongues to pray for the very things you long for, even those things. Your Father in heaven already knows. Notice how David has opened this prayer by addressing God with his covenant name, Yahweh, translated Lord in all capitals in our Bibles. You see, David has come to know that the Lord is not only Almighty God, not only all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, but this is the God of the covenant. This is the God of relationship. This is his heavenly Father. And by addressing his God as Lord, David invites us to consider God's redemptive works throughout the ages to see that time and again, God has always come through for his people. Time and again, God has proven that he knows his people's hurts. He knows their struggles. And he loves them more than they could have ever imagined. What an amazing thing it is, congregation, that even if I feel like I am invisible, God sees me. And God knows me. He sees you and he knows you, all your hurts, all your pains, even as he saw and knew the people of Israel in the days of Pharaoh. I was reminded of those last words from Exodus chapter 2. The people of Israel are also in a time of oppression. They're perhaps wondering, are we invisible? Has God forgotten us? Are we still known by God? What does Moses write? He says that their cry for rescue from slavery went up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. God knew their suffering. God knew their bondage, their hurt, and their pain. And he would rescue them. And this is the kind of personal, sympathizing knowledge that David has come to know here in Psalm 139. God does not abandon his people in this sad world, but he knows them intimately. He provides what they need. He rescues them and he restores them. Verse 5, he hems them in behind and before, and he lays his protecting hand upon them. God knows the sufferings of his people, and he moves toward them with mercy and compassion. He is never indifferent towards his children. But as your faithful God and Father, he loves you even as much as he loves Jesus. On these first few verses, an old Dutch Reformed pastor once reflected on what it meant to be hemmed in by God. He writes these words. He says, I, as a pastor, have stood at many deathbeds. I've stood at many deathbeds where the torch of life has burned very low, the hands laying powerless on the blankets, the tongue no longer able to speak. But in those moments, I have learned more fully who the Lord is. Behold, there is not a word on my tongue, even when no words can leave my mouth. when God does not know me altogether. Even at death's door, God has hemmed his child in behind and before, and he has laid his hand on her. Even there, God in Christ stands beside her. He covers her back. He holds his arm around her, forever holding on to her. And he is ready to take her to be where he is. And this God congregation is your God. Every day of your life, here and now. This God who knows you, he is with you, even in the ordinary. He's with you when you are sitting down and when you are rising up. He is with you when you are laying your heads to rest at night again. And because we are known by God, as David describes, we need not worry. As the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about your life. Just look at the birds of the air, how they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asks the question, are you not of much more value than they? See, congregation, our confession in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, we come to see is the remedy for our worry. Because we believe in him, this God who knows us, who knows our every need, even more than we know them ourselves. Because we believe in this God, we can leave worrying to the world. He will provide you with whatever you need for body and soul. He will even turn to your good, whatever adversity he sends upon you in this sad world. He who holds you, he will light your path wherever you go. The second major thing we come to see is that the presence of God is everywhere. David shows us that the Lord God perceives all things and all places. And the comfort for the believer is that our God is fully present everywhere for our good. And David shows that vividly here in verses 7 through 12 of our passage. David contemplates the vastness of the universe and the immeasurable distance of the world. But as he comes to the conclusion that he is so small in this vast, vast world, he comes to confess, and even in his small, insignificant life, the Lord of the universe is with him always. He prays, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. With you the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. David is emphasizing, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is present everywhere in order to protect his children. That's why he does what our confession says he does. He upholds all things of the universe by his eternal counsel and providence for our sake. He rules all things, upholds all things for your sake, that you might learn more and more to place all your trust in him. Do you trust this all-knowing, all-present God this morning, congregation? When you feel like you are all alone in deep, deep darkness with nowhere else to turn, do you place your trust in this God who knows you and is always with you? Or do you instead despair and look to the things of the world? Where do you turn when you are most afraid? David shows us the child of God is protected by the Father's hand wherever he may be. Even if you find yourselves in thick darkness, in the thickest of darkness, of struggling with besetting sins or cancer, sickness, or even death itself, even in that darkness, God is with us. Even as Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Never, congregation, will you get lost in the dark. Neither height nor depth shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even death, brothers and sisters. Not even death can separate you from the brightness of the presence of God, because even the darkness is not dark with God. What does that mean for you, congregation, that you have in God a guiding light in the thickest of darkness? What it means is this: not even hell can keep you from the gracious presence of God. David says, "Even if I make my bed in Sheol," sometimes place of the dead, other times in the Bible, hell, says David. "Even if I make my bed there in Sheol, you are there." You hear it said all the time, "You made your bed, now lie in it." But listen to what our Father says to us. He says, "Oh, my children, don't you see that you've made your bed in hell? Don't you see that you've made your bed in hell by choosing sin over me? But you need not lie in that bed. I will lie there for you." And that's precisely what God did, isn't it? As He sent His Son into the world to hang upon the cross, to experience the Father's hand going against Him, so that that hand might be a place of protection for us. Where can you go from His Spirit? Where can you flee from His presence? The answer, congregation, is nowhere. But by His hand He leads you, and by His right hand He holds you. And that's a good place to be, is it not? Held fast in the right hand of God. As you know, that's where the Lord Jesus is right now. See it at God's right hand. That's a place of security. It's a place of victory. That's a place of honor. And that's where you are. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Seated with Christ in heavenly places at God's right hand. Because the eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we confess in Lord's Day 9, this God is my God and Father also, for the sake of Christ, His Son. And so even in the midst of the sadness and the depression and despair that accompanies living in this sad and fallen world, even in the midst of so much pain and sorrow, our catechism teaches us you need not worry. You need not fear, because the Spirit of God is here. He is here with you in the darkness. He is here with you in the shadows and the valleys. And as your faithful Father, He cares for you far more than you can ever imagine. And so we need not lose heart when life goes dark, congregation, because God does not abandon you there. But He lights your path wherever you go. He leads you in the way everlasting. Consider with me, finally, congregation, God's ability, His desire to lead us in that way. For He who formed you, He who knit you together in your mother's womb, this same God has also written all your days in His wonderful book. David trusts in the Lord, congregation, because He is the God who knit him together in his mother's womb, the God who has written all his days in his wonderful book. And that's what the authors of our catechism want us to see this morning. That because all our days are written in God's book, we too can trust him. On that basis, that God is upholding and ruling all things by his eternal counsel and providence, on that basis, we make our confession. I trust God so much that I do not doubt that he will provide for me whatever I need for body and soul. And I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this sad world. Do you know that truth this morning, congregation, that God will turn to your good, even the adversity that comes your way? Sometimes hard to believe that, isn't it? It's hard to trust God when life isn't going according to plan. It's not always so easy to truly believe what God's Word says, that God's plans for us are better than the plans that we would make for ourselves. Because we think we know ourselves so well, don't we? We think we know exactly what we need. But David shows us here again that God knows us better. It was God the Father who formed your inward parts. In other words, David is saying, congregation, he knows you from the inside out. It was God who knitted you together in your mother's womb. Even when you were made in secret, your frame was not hidden from him. His eyes saw even your unformed substance. And in his book were written every single one of them, all the days that God formed for you, even when as yet there were none of them. Do you praise God for this, brothers and sisters, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in this way? Do you praise God for this, that he knows you even better than you know yourselves? And that he has plans for you that are better than the plans you would make for yourselves? In our present experience in this life, we need to believe that when plans don't go our way, we need not ever imagine that God has gone against us, that God has forgotten us. And yet that's our tendency, is it not? This wasn't the plan. God must be against me. I wonder if the people of Israel felt the same way as they were being dragged away into exile. This wasn't the plan. This wasn't how our lives were supposed to turn out. We thought we were the people of God, immune to the chastisement of the Lord. Perhaps they thought about David's words. Even these days? Were these days of being dragged away from the land of promise, were even these days written in God's book? What do we make of those days when the people of God were dragged away? What do we make of those similar days in our own lives, those days of heartbreak, those days of sickness and sorrow and pain? Do you believe that even those days are written in God's book? David tells us, yes, even those days. Even those days are written in the Father's book. David exclaims elsewhere in Psalm 56, "You, O Lord, have kept count of my tossing and turnings, and you have put all my tears in your bottle. Are they not written in your book?" What comfort and encouragement the faithful remnant in Israel must have taken in the words of Jeremiah's prophecy from chapter 29. where God said to these people who might have perhaps felt like they were invisible, that they were forgotten by God, God says to them, "For I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, plans to give you a future and a hope." That's our promise, congregation. We know from our series through 1 Peter, that's God's promise for us, this living hope which we have now for the present that directs us to the glories to come. The Catechism reminds us again that our God and Father is the sovereign Lord of creation. Nothing comes our way by chance or by happenstance. But all things are being directed according to His plan and purposes for us and for the world. And so even in the midst of distress and anguish, as men of blood pursue Him and speak against God with malicious intent and take God's name in vain, David takes a refuge in his God and Father. And he leads them over to the just judgment of God. And so what more can David say, congregation, than what he says in verses 17 and 18? What more can we say? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the sand. And David's not just dreaming these things up. He says, even when I awake, I am still with you. And because David knows that he is a son of God, he can pray verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way within me." Why can he pray that? That might be a scary prayer for some of us. "Search me, O God. Know my heart." David knows that the Lord has answered his prayer from Psalm 51. "Create in me a clean heart. Wash me, that I might be white as snow." And we pray with the same hearts this morning as we have the hearts of our faithful older brother Jesus beating within us, sons and daughters of this living God. And so we know that the Lord God will lead us also in the way everlasting. The Lord Jesus answers that prayer. Even in this sad world, the Lord leads us in the way everlasting. He alone is able to do this because He is truly Almighty God. But more than that, as our catechism says, He even desires to do this. Because He is our faithful Father. And the one who made you has not, He will not abandon you in this sad world. We rest assured in that this morning, congregation, that He will lead us in the way everlasting until the chapter of this creation is finally over. And we take heart in knowing that even our days in the world to come, also those days, are written in God's wonderful book. The new chapter of creation glory where you and I will be with the Lord forever. We can be still. We know that the Lord is always on our side. Amen. For a song of application, let's stand to sing 532 from the Trinity Hymnals. 532, "Be Still My Soul." We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4 of 532.